Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope that you are well and that you enjoyed the weekend. Does that already seem like a long time ago? Aha, Mondays can be like that. But we have this little circle of quiet and another noisy day. You and me, plus all these other listeners, as we discover who God is. I am anticipating another fruitful week in the Word of God, and I hope that you are as well. As we begin this week, we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 4 at verse 15. Let me read this for us. So the Lord said to Cain, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. As you hopefully remember, we have dealt with this surprising verse, but we ran out of time before we could talk about this. Whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And what is the sign the Lord appointed for Cain? What is sevenfold vengeance, and what is the sign? These are the two questions we want to now answer. We will take them in the proper order and start with vengeance that God promises on anyone who would kill Cain. As the Lord continues to protect Cain, despite Cain's sin, sin for which he has not confessed, the Lord sets the parameters of his promise. It is very helpful if you know that sevenfold here does not mean seven times. Rather, sevenfold means fullness or completeness. God is not saying that if someone kills Cain, then seven members of the family of the person who killed Cain would then be themselves killed. That is not what the Lord means by what he says. In fact, just to make sure we've got it, let me use a fictional example. Let's say this man named Caleb decided to murder Cain so as to avenge the blood of Abel. So Caleb sneaks up on Cain and kills him. God would not then hunt down seven of Caleb's relatives and kill them. God would not. Rather, the nature of this promise is that Cain, if someone were to kill you, vengeance will be taken on that person fully, completely. What that vengeance would actually look like is up to God. But Cain can be sure of this. Sevenfold meant fullness and completeness. Full and complete vengeance. That answers our first question. How about the second question? What is the sign the Lord appointed for Cain? Well, I can legitimately say, I do not know. And then we can move on to the next verse, because I do not know, really. In fact, nobody knows for certain what the sign was. However, there are five things we can say about this sign. Five things. First, if it were important for us to know what the sign was, then God would have told us. But since he did not tell, then it is not important for us to know. That may seem obvious to you, but I thought I would point this out. A lot of times we miss this. We somehow think God owes us all the answers, even within the Bible itself. But friends, there is a lot we do not know. There is a lot we are not told. But we must not become obsessed with that. Instead, focus with us on what we are told. The Bible already has everything we need. Why must we go searching for, guessing about, more? Second, just because we do not know specifically what the sign was, still, during the remainder of Cain's life, the sign was known to the people around him. We do not know it, but they did know it. We can be certain that the Lord fulfilled his promise, and this sign accompanied Cain wherever he went. Third, we can say this sign was not some physical mark on Cain's body. It is not that God gave Cain a tattoo, or that God has a divine branding iron and he heated it up in the furnace in heaven and lowered that white-hot metal and stamped mark Cain with a sign. It's not that either. Fourth, we know from reading the rest of the Old Testament that it was fairly common for God to give signs. We have time for me to give you a sample. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses and God are in conversation, and the Lord gives Moses a sign. I'm reading the book of Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Again, this is Exodus 3, 10 through 12. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. There in verse 12, we read about the sign given by God to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. Let's flip, or scroll as the case may be, over in the Bible to the book of 1 Samuel and look at chapter 10. And if you do not have access to the scripture now, do not worry about it. Just give a good listen. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, we find God has chosen Saul to be the leader of Israel, and Samuel privately anoints Saul to be set aside as the Lord's servant. To set the context in the lead up to verse 7, where you will hear about the signs, let me read for us 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. This is the prophet Samuel speaking to Saul. Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him, and said, Has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? When you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, What shall I do about my son? Then you will go on further from there, and you will come as far as the oak of Tabor, and there three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place, with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. There are signs from God to Saul. Let me point you to one other scripture in which God gives a sign. This one will strike you as memorable because it is. Isaiah chapter 7, and let me read verses 10 through 14. Is your Bible handy? Go over to Isaiah chapter 7 and find verse 10. These are the words of God and then the word of God through Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of God as well? Therefore, The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Ah, yes, this reminds us of Christmas. Verse 14 of Isaiah 7 and the now famous prophecy of our Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, being born to the virgin. The Lord himself will give you a sign. We know from reading the rest of the Old Testament that it was fairly common for God to give signs. I've cited a few examples, Exodus 3, 1 Samuel 10, and Isaiah 7. There are five things we can say about this sign, and here's the fifth. Whatever the sign was that God gave to Cain, this sign did not give Cain peace. The sign did not give Cain peace. Cain will be that vagrant and wanderer that God said he would be. Wherever he roamed, he was sure to be looking over his shoulder. I do not believe that Cain ever got over the sin of murdering his blood brother Abel. And of course he did not, because in my estimation, reading the text, I do not find a man who is genuinely sorry for what he has done. He does not possess the agonizing sorrow, the repentance from sin that a true son or daughter of God has when we sin against God and when we sin against one another. We do not know what the sign was that God gave Cain here in verse 15, but we can say these five things about it. I have read lots of speculation as to what this sign was, some of it very good, but still we are left with this. It is not within the wisdom of God for us to know. I am okay with that. Tomorrow we will read and reflect on just one more verse in the life of Cain. That will be verse 16 of Genesis chapter 4. So join us tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.